35 U.S.C. 289 is the special statutory section that deals with design patent damages. And essentially, it says whoever sells any article of manufacture to which the patented design has been applied is liable to the extent of his total profit. So the key words are article of manufacture and to which the patented design has been applied. Now all we have to do is get to the next slide. Yeah. The Supreme Court in Samsung v. Apple a few years ago had this case where Samsung argued that the article of manufacture doesn't have to be the end product as sold by the infringer, but could also be a component of that end product. And the Supreme Court agreed with them, so that is now the law. You have to figure out whether it's the end product or a component of that product before you calculate the total profit. Of course, the Supreme Court did not give any guidance about how to make that determination. They left it, as they usually do, to be worked out during litigation in the lower courts. So along comes, well, everybody who was litigating this total profit issue at the time struggled really with how they determine what the article of manufacture is. And many of the courts, in fact, I think all of the district courts, adopted a four-factor test that had been part of an amicus brief in the Supreme Court back here, filed by the Department of Justice on behalf of the U.S. government. And I'm not going to get into what that four-factor test is, but the lower courts found it a convenient set of factors with which to determine what the article of manufacture was in any given case. Is it the end product, or is it a component of the end product? I've actually written a paper critiquing the four-factor test, and if you have issues about that, I commend it to your attention. Columbia Sportswear versus Cirrus was one of those cases that was pending when Samsung Apple was decided, and it's interesting. It's an interesting case because it was the first one to come up to the Federal Circuit with this issue of how do you determine the article of manufacture. This is a heat-reflective material. Figure one of the design patent is on the left. Figure two, which is really an enlarged view of a portion of figure one, is on the right. And you can see it consists of wavy lines on an underlying fabric. Interestingly, Columbia had a bunch of other figures besides figures one and two that showed their heat reflective material applied to other products, such as socks, as shown in figure seven, and gloves, as shown in figure eight. Now, the socks and the gloves, as you can see, were not themselves claimed because they're shown in broken lines. But I think these were presented as examples of how the heat-reflective material could be used in practice. And there were a number of these different figures. So along comes Cirrus and develops and sells the product on the right side. And as you can appreciate, it's very similar to the patented design on the left. In fact, the lower court found, I think it was a jury actually, found that the design patent was valid and infringed and awarded a fair amount of damages to Columbia Sportswear for the infringement. Cirrus appealed to the Federal Circuit, and one of the grounds was that the lower court got the article of manufacture wrong. They determined that it was socks and gloves, And Cirrus thought it should be the end product, not the end product, but the component. As you can see, the accused product, the Cirrus product shown on the right, had their heat-reflective material applied to a sock, as shown in the patent's Figure 7, and also applied to a glove, as shown in Figure 8 of the patent. So it was interesting, I think, that Cirrus used the heat-reflective material exactly as anticipated by Columbia. So again, the issue is, what is the article of manufacture? That was the big issue on appeal, at least for the entire design patent bar, because it was the first case after Samsung where the Federal Circuit would wrestle with what are the appropriate factors in determining this. Now, as I said before, the patentee wanted socks and gloves to be the article of manufacture. They wanted the end product as sold. And the infringer wanted the heat-reflective material or the component to be the article of manufacture. And the reason is probably obvious. It's because the margin on socks and gloves at the retail level is a lot higher than the margin of the heat-reflective material sold to a vendor who puts it on socks and gloves. So the total profit would be much bigger if the socks and gloves were determined to be the article of manufacture.